Judges chapter 15 and verse 14. It says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and he took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi," or you could translate that to Jawbone Heights, or the height of jawbone. "And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. And therefore he called the name thereof in Hakore, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now that other name there, which he called the place in Hakori, is the spring of the caller, is the actual literal translation of that's what he called it. Lord, we ask you that you'd help us to look into thy word and to see those things that are there, Lord, that we might be cause to contemplate and reflect upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our deliverer in all things. And Lord, we have no other one in whom our soul can take delight. Lord, we ask you this day that you might give us grace, that we might see him high and lifted up, that we might see him in all of his glory as that Redeemer of Israel, that one who is the God of Jacob. Lord, we bless thee. We praise thy name. We ask you, Lord, to help us this day. In Jesus' name. Now, I think most of you might be familiar with this particular case of when Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And evidently, this was kind of an unusual thing, although the jawbone of an ass, if you have ever seen a horse's skull, which an ass would be very similar to that of a horse, but the jawbone, of course, is long, as a horse's mouth is, and it has a hook on one end of it. So I assume that he used it like an axe or a scythe, but in any event, he slew 1,000 men. Now, Samson, a lot of people, you see pictures of Samson that artists have drawn, and he's always like the Incredible Hulk, you know, he's this big guy. But I don't think he was like that at all. Because had he been like that, then the Philistines wouldn't have wondered where his strength came from. They would have known, well, man, this guy's, you know, he's just bad. And but they didn't understand, because he was no different than anybody else. He was just an average guy, I believe. And but yet the Lord was pleased to bless Samson and was pleased to be with him. And I believe in Samson we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was strong and mighty, but yet to men he appeared just some pitiful character that couldn't even prevent the Roman legions from, you know, committing him to death on the cross, and that he really was ultimately found to be without strength. We find Samson here as he has done this great feat of slaying 1,000 men. Now, that if you pause and think about that, the physical capabilities of that is beyond any human being to do such a thing apart from the grace of God. I mean, how could one man slay 1,000 men? I mean, just think about just slaying. If you had something like that and you just did it back and forth like that 1,000 times, you'd just be wore completely out. Let alone if you were having to actually literally fight with men who were trying to kill you. Notice, he didn't go out and just find a bunch of folks laid up in the hospital somewhere and go kill them. I mean, these were people that was out to kill him. They were armed and ready. They had swords and knives, and I'm sure you've all seen Clint Eastwood movies. And he goes into this place, and you've got 25 people all with guns pointed at him, and somehow or other, you know, he winds up and he kills them all, and he goes out. Well, this was a greater picture of this than that, and a more unlikely scenario that could have developed than this one. I can't even fathom it, but in any event, he slew 1,000 men. 1,000 men. That's more people than you probably know. And he slew 1,000 men in one day. And of course, it came to pass that he was sore athirst. Because the feat of doing this, even though it was the Lord working in him to give him strength, nonetheless, he was in a place of great weakness. And he called on the Lord. And he said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." He said, "You've done this great mighty thing, and now I'm going to perish because I'm in weakness of the flesh." And, you know, we see in Samson, of course, we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also see a picture of the weakness of men. And how it is that the Lord can raise a man to great heights. Now, if the Lord had taken Samson, and Samson knew that this power couldn't have been his because it had to be that of the Lord to do the things that he did. But yet, at the same time, the way the flesh works and the way we are, we get to thinking, well, the Lord did that one time, but he probably won't do it again. And so it's like when Elijah was fed by the Lord and brought up to Mount Carmel, and he had this great confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and he slew, had them all slain with the sword, and he had had a great mighty triumph. And then he went and he started feeling sorry for himself and saying, "Oh Lord, I'm the only one left. And now they're going to kill me." And the Lord said to him, you know, that he had 7,000 men that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And he strengthened Elijah. And Elijah was made strong. And so it is that Samson, he said, "I'm going to die here, Lord, if you don't help me." And the Lord did help him. The scripture says that the Lord clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. Now, some have surmised that this is speaking about the jawbone of the ass. I don't think that's what it is, because if you look here, he says that he cast away the jawbone out of his hands, and he called that place Jawbone Heights. In other words, that place Lehi that he came to, he renamed it. And he said, "This is the height of jawbone," or he said, "This is the mount of jawbone. This is the place that I've come up to." And he said, "Here I am." And so the scripture goes on to say that the Lord God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. It doesn't say that it was in the jawbone, but it says it was in the jaw. And in the jaw, I think it means that place where Samson was, that the Lord caused a spring to come out of the rock that was there and to give him water. Because of this reason, that he goes on to say that he called the name thereof the spring of the caller. So he called upon the name of the Lord,
in that place, and the Lord gave it. And then it goes on to say, which is in Lehi until this very day. So there was, at the time of this writing, whoever the writer was here, recorded this, said this spring was still flowing right there in that place. So it couldn't have been from the jawbone itself that the spring came forth, but it was rather from the place where he threw the jawbone, and the Lord brought this spring. But that's kind of not really all that important. The thing that's important that we see here is that the Lord did come to Samson's aid in the time of his great weakness, even though he was a man who displayed great strength by the power of the Lord. Now, keeping all of that in mind, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I want us to see here the antitype of Samson, who slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And here's one who, and then went to a mount and called upon the Lord. I want you to think about that. And he came out, this is in verse 39 of chapter 22 of Luke, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the man that he was. And if any other passage in all of the Scripture testifies to us of the humanity of Jesus Christ, it is here when he went to the Mount of Olives. Now we know that he went there as our great high priest. He went there and he prayed in our behalf. But dear brethren, while he went there as the Son of God, as that great high priest, which was after the order of Melchizedek, which had neither beginning of days nor ending of life, as he came there, yet never forget that he came there as a man. He prayed for us as a man. Now we know that he intercedes for us as the eternal Son of God. But dear brethren, he has interceded for us as the only begotten Son of God. As that one who was born of the Virgin Mary, who came forth in flesh and blood like as our own, and tabernacled among us, and who had the weight of sin laid upon him. Indeed, as that perfect sacrifice sent from God, but yet as a man, bearing a debt of sin for those whom he loved. As it is beyond comprehension for us to think of slaying 1,000 men in one day, that pales in comparison to think of the weight of the sin that was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In that day, when he bore our sin as a man, and he came there to that mount, even as Samson of old called unto the Lord in the mount, and the Lord caused a spring to come forth to give him strength. The scripture says in verse 43, there appeared unto him from heaven, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven strengthening him. Now that is one of the most amazing passages in defining for us who the Lord Jesus was that there is. Now the scripture says that he was made a little lower than what? The angels. Now how could it be, dear brethren, that such an one as this one who formed all things by the power of his own hand, he made the angels. He cast a third of them out of heaven. But this very same Jesus, this very same one, knelt in a garden with the sin of his people upon him, and it was necessary that one of those whom he had created and directed by his own hand be sent to strengthen him. Oh, that we might learn, dear brethren, the weakness of this flesh. Now, Christ was in the same flesh that we are. He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. And so there was a measure in which we can say he was strong in the flesh. He was strong in that he met those temptations and he bore them. But yet it wasn't his flesh from which he derived his power, dear brethren. It was from the Spirit of the living God that was within him. And so it is here that as he comes to this garden as a man, if he was but a mere man, dear brethren, he would never be able to stand. Any more than if Samson was just coming in the strength in his own power, would he ever be able to slay 1,000 men? I mean, think of slaying 1,000 men with a machine gun, let alone with your bare hands, essentially. But the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done here is a far greater need. The flesh is far, the weakness of the flesh is greater in magnitude. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven strengthening him. The Lord strengthened his own son in the flesh. And he cried out to the Lord. The scripture says, and being in agony. Being in agony. He prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then when he arose from the place of prayer, what did he find? When he rose from prayer, he was come to his disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were sleeping for sorrow while the one who carried their sorrows was weeping upon the ground. And the sweat drops, as the scripture says, as blood came from his head. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest he enter into temptation. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas came and betrayed him. Oh, dear brethren, think of that which the Lord Jesus bore as a man who needed to be strengthened in order to bear it. Because flesh and blood is weak by nature. It's not strong. It's not the substance of the kingdom of God. It can't carry us there. It can't bring us there. And in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was weak in the same way in which our flesh is weak. But he was made strong because he is strong. And when the angel strengthened him, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. You see, the angel couldn't bear the the agony with him. He couldn't help him with it. He couldn't take it, lest he would be the one that bore the sin. But Christ bore it all. But he strengthened him, even as Samson was strengthened by that water flowing out of that mountain which the Lord designed. Where did this angel come from? The Lord made him. And he sent him for the purpose of helping him. But oh, that we might never forget that it was in the weakness of his flesh that he bore our sin. And he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Oh, never before has there ever been an act of faith and complete submission to the Lord, our God, than that which is demonstrated by Christ, who here gave up his very self unto the Lord, which no man could do except that God be with him. And dear brethren, may we know that the Lord... Yes, he could.
But he did his Father's will and saved us.
And so we are indeed encouraged to remember that which Christ has done for us. No man did come to his aid. His disciples deserted him, essentially. I mean, just like us, I mean, you know, when the chips are down, we'll turn tail and run. If it wasn't that God, in his mercy, did keep us. I mean, all the disciples fled, Scripture says. All of them, every one. There wasn't one of them that stayed around. They fled. Because they were weak in the flesh. He was weak and yet he was strong. And because our salvation rests not in the flesh, but in the God who made flesh and blood, we stand. And for no other reason. May the Lord give us grace that we might rejoice today in that which Christ did in our behalf. When he entered in once into the holy place in our behalf, he bore our sin. He carried away our sorrows as far as the east is from the west.